Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J., behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, Mr. Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And our good friend, Madison Rafter, is in with us to kick off our day with the pet of the week. Yes, Madison, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We want to send a shout-out to our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society, and of course, our friends at Current Technology, sponsoring this segment. Always love hanging out with Madison and getting a chance to talk about our furry friends over at the Humane Society. Madison, let's not make the audience wait too long here. Who is our featured under the spotlight for our pet of the week?
Our pet of the week this week is Churro. Is a little 3-month-old kitten. She is a little black kitten. She came to us. She was found behind a Quick Trip, and she had some burns on her paws when she first came in. She was found on a propane tank back behind the propane tank, and she had some pretty significant burns to the front paw pads of her. She came in as a stray. She got all healed up. We healed up her paws. We worked on treating that just to make sure that it worked well, and now she is spayed and ready for adoption. Just an adorable little black kitten. Black kittens tend to sadly get overpassed for some reason, They're just the best little kittens ever, and she's been available for at least 3 weeks, and nobody has even taken a look at her, and it's like, she's a kitten. She's adorable, and she just wants love.
So this is actually working out really good. I would say maybe less than a year ago, and then a couple of years back when we first started doing this morning show and everything, we touched on this topic because I remember working at shelters and seeing black cats, and one in particular, I believe Elvis was his name, that had been with the shelter at the Santa Barbara shelter that I was working at the time for like 5 years, and this cat was one of the sweetest cats I've ever been around in my life. Like, it had, like, part dog in it, it seemed like. It was just such a cool cat, and I couldn't understand. And this cat even had some white in its paws, and it still wouldn't get adopted. And we did this story before, and I'll talk about it again. There is no science to this, people. It's all in your head. And that's how luck works. Like, you know, I mean, if you walk around all day, you know, waiting for something bad to happen, something bad's going to happen. That's how these things work. It has nothing to do with the cat. It's not their fault. The cat probably doesn't even know it's a black cat.
No. I mean, it's the stigma, too, with the black dogs as well. For whatever reason, it also transfers over to them, where for some reason, people just are not a fan of them. And I'm not sure why. It could be the fact of the color of their hair. But then at the same point, if you wear black clothing and you have a white dog, you're going to have hair everywhere.
Yeah.
That's true.
You can be one of the people that breaks this stereotype and takes home an amazing, amazing animal. And you're immediately finding out, I got lucky because I got a perfect animal to come to my home. It immediately breaks any, quote, you know, thing with that by just having the animal and working it out. You're like, oh, this is a good thing. It turns out that was just a bunch of, you know, hoopla.
The only caveat I have is that this cat is named after food. So every time you'd say that, get hungry, like, hey, churro. Ooh, churro.
You may be spending a lot more time at Mexican restaurants, which there's nothing wrong with.
No, of course not.
We've got a lot of great ones around
here. Yeah, we do.
I do love that name, churro. Does churro, does she have all of her shots and everything? She's all ready to go?
She does have age-appropriate vaccines with the December vaccine. I believe she was too young for a rabies vaccine, so she will need to get that. But other than that, she is spayed and microchipped, and she's ready to go.
And you mentioned and great work with her, healing her up and everything. That alone, Madison, is awesome to hear about. But she's not only all healed up, but she doesn't need any current, like, consistent care through her or anything like that?
Nope. She is good for her. Her paw pads got all healed up. Again, they had a little bit of those burns on them, and her paw pads were kind of ripped off a little bit. But we did some treatment with that, gave her some medication, some pain medication, and she is all healed up.
Nice.
Good to hear. Very, very good to hear. How are things going on over at the shop as it is, Madison? I wanted to talk a little about that.
Yeah, we are full. Cat and dog side both. Very full. It's summertime. We are in full swing of it, and adoptions have been slow. We're not sure if it's summertime and people are getting out, going, and doing their own thing, which is perfectly fine. Not an issue. But one of those things is we are full, cats and dog side. I think we maybe have 2 open kennels on each side. So.
Wow.
Of course, bunnies as well. We are also full there. So.
Oh, I know. That's another one to keep in mind, too. And when you can adopt these animals, we greatly appreciate you giving them a forever home and helping Madison and her team kind of, you know, make some room over there and everything, and maybe have a little less on their plate, because this is a nonprofit we're talking about, everybody. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can't adopt an animal, because we certainly don't want anybody adopting one that can't or isn't the right home. But you can participate and help out with things at the Humane Society if you would like to. Are there anything in particular you're really needing right now, Madison?
Yeah, so highest needs right now is garbage bags, so 30-gallon garbage bags and dish sponges. Those are our highest needs right now.
Okay. So you're out and about, you're picking some of those kind of things up for you and your home, maybe grab an extra one, drop it off at the Humane Society. Can they just drop it off? Should they call ahead, Madison?
They can drop it off anytime during business hours. If it is a day that we are closed and that's the only day that works for you, that is perfectly fine. We do have staff in the building and you can just ring the front doorbell.
I know how busy you are, so I don't want to keep you too long, but I did want to talk about and preview some of the events coming up in August, get people to mark them on their calendars, and make sure to meet us over at the Southland County Humane Society for their vaccine clinic and garage sale. Great idea, by the way. I love this. The clinic is going to be from 10 to 11, and the garage sale from 10 to 3.
Yes. We are still in need of donations for our garage sale, so if you have pet carriers laying around in your garage, if you have cat trees that you no longer need, or any supplies along those lines you'd be willing to donate, we can accept all of those. And then with our vaccine clinic, we do need 15 registrations. Otherwise, we will not be able to host the event. Mm. We currently have 7 right now, but if we do not have 15, we will not be able to host it. So if you are interested, you can pre-register on our website. Otherwise, we do have it on our Facebook as well.
Yeah. And again, that website, swchs.com. You guys got another great event coming up, Aquatic Park Dog Days, August 21st, 3:30 to 6 at our beautiful Aquatic Center here in Rapids. That's always a fun one. I've been past the park before with that, and it is so much fun. I don't know if there is a more fun day at the park than that day.
Yep, it is a blast. I know a lot of people have that hesitancy where they're like, "Wow, there's going to be so many dogs. Is this going to be a good idea?" We have staff available that do go to that event because we enjoy going to that event, and we're kind of the dog police for the event. So if there is anything that potentially would be some sort of, like, there is the potential for a fight to break out or anything along those lines, we are on top of that. We stopped before there even is an incident, and it is just an absolutely fantastic event. The dogs get the last day in the water park. They get to romp around in the water. And even if your dog doesn't like the water, that's perfectly okay. They can romp around and play with the dogs that are running around on the concrete. It's an absolute blast, though.
One last thing, two last things I wanted to touch on with you, Madison. And this one kind of plays into the Shoe Us the Love. I'm going to use that as many times as I can. I love it. I know Seth groans. I can't help it. I love it. You can drop off shoes. Gently worn shoes is what we're looking for right now. If you drop those off, it helps out our Humane Society and gets something out of your closet there.
We are a week left of our event. So the truck supposedly is not going to be coming for a little bit, but it's supposed to end on August 4th, but we are still able to collect after that. So if you've got shoes that you're ready to get rid of, not needing anymore, we will take them. I think we've got about 60 bags right now. So.
Right on. Let's get some more. Yep. Let's get some more. If you can't make it over to the Humane Society, you can drop them off right here at the WFHR studios, and we'll get them to Madison and her team.
Bow Wow Meow is also collecting them, and Animal Medical and Surgical as well.
Yeah. Stop by any of those great local businesses and buy local and support local. And we're talking feet, Madison, and I did a little homework on this one, and it turns out where we walk on 2 feet, dogs walk on 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This blew my mind. We already know this, and we know how hot it is at summer, and we know how hot it is right now. Keep that in mind when your furry friends, when you're going for walks, when you're taking them out. As hot as that sidewalk is for you, it is that much more hotter for them. And I imagine that you might know a little bit more about this technically than I do, but I did want to touch on this just to remind people about that. I think we got a lot of great dog owners out there and understand this already, but just in case.
Yeah. It's always something to be cautious about, especially when it gets hot, because if you can't stand on it with your own 2 feet or even put your hand on the sidewalk, you should not be walking your dog on the sidewalk.
There you go.
It's one of those things that if you are going to walk them, it's highly recommended to do it really in the early morning, otherwise really late in the evening, just due to the fact with the heat, the weather, those sidewalks are going to get hot. Asphalt especially is going to get very hot. That's going to burn your puppy's paw pads. There are booties you can look into if your dog will wear them. Mine will not. I have tried. Yeah. It doesn't work.
All right.
But there's booties you can look into. There's sticky pads you can put on your dog's feet. Anything along those lines, too, that if you are very adamant about walking, again, just try to be as cautious as possible. If it's something that you can't walk on it yourself or you can't even touch it yourself, then you probably don't want your pooch walking on it.
Yeah, I know people that wait until later in the day to take their dog for a walk when it's a little bit cooler. I have a couple that their kids are all grown and out of the house, and she had the idea, oh, well, after we go for a walk, he can go in the kiddie pool.
Yep.
And the dog just goes in the kiddie pool, just loves it, and you got to drag him out of there pretty much because he doesn't want to leave it. But things like that, there are ways to do this to, you know, make sure your furry friend's paws are okay. It's something else to keep in mind in the winter as well when we're talking about salt, and we'll get into more of that when we get into that weather and that horribleness that we don't want to think about right now. But drop off your shoes, keep an eye out for your furry friends when it comes to that, and of course, any other questions you might have, reach out to our friend Madison and the gang over at the Humane Society. Madison, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
They can reach us either at the main shelter line, which is going to be 715-423-0505. Otherwise, they can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com.
And you can find out more about Churro and other great furry friends at the Humane Society. You've got pictures and different things up on the website. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on all the great things going on at the Humane Society. We're already looking forward to next Thursday, Madison. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, and a big shout out to Current Technologies as well for sponsoring the segment. We appreciate them. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Big shout out to our great friend Madison Rafter from the South O'Connor Humane Society, executive director over there.
Yes.
Greatly appreciate her joining us every Thursday. Be here next Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking with Madison, hanging out with her. She was telling us as she was leaving, their new website should be up and running by next week.
By next week, yeah.
That's pretty really cool. Yeah. And a big thank you to Madison hanging out with us. It's not like the Humane Society's across the street. She comes all the way over here to hang out with us, put up with me and all that. It's fun. We appreciate her.
And she's so good at what she does.
She really is.
Isn't she?
She is a huge benefit to this community.
Yeah, she is.
Having people like that in this community. We appreciate it. We're going to get into some entertainment news. And to start things off, wanted to talk about Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor, she was only 56. She has died. The family announced her passing yesterday, but didn't reveal the cause of death.
Okay.
Because it is none of our damn business.
True.
Just being frank about this. If you are the type of person that needs to know that kind of thing, you go ahead and find it out yourself. I ain't helping you do that.
No,
that's not part of my job description. I ain't going to help you scurry into other people's lives if they're a celebrity or not.
Right.
Sinead is best known for Nothing Compares to You, a song written by Prince that she took to number one in 1990. She would later reveal that she wasn't a fan of him as a person, but they were able to work together on this. Sinead was just as well known for taking moral and political stances.
Mm-hmm.
This same year, Nothing Compares made her a star. She refused to appear on an episode of Saturday Night Live because of Andrew Dice Clay hosting. Mm-hmm. The following summer, she wouldn't allow a New Jersey concert venue to play the national anthem before one of her shows, after which Frank Sinatra threatened to kick her in the butt. In 1991, she joined Public Enemy in boycotting the Grammys to protest the Gulf War. And then, of course, in 92, the big one, during a performance of SNL, Sinead sang a acapella version of Bob Marley's War, but she changed some of the lyrics to reference child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Then at the end of the song, she yelled, "Fight the real enemy," and ripped up a picture of the Pope at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That got her banned from SNL and caused a huge uproar, and Madonna said it was inappropriate, which is really weird. Really weird when Madonna says something
wait
is inappropriate.
Wait a minute, yeah.
Sadly, her career never really fully recovered from that, although in 2021, in her memoir Rememberings, the last year's documentary, Nothing Compares, did help restore her legacy a bit. Irish President Michael Higgins called Sinead one of the greatest and most gifted composers, songwriters, and performers of recent decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree with him. I think she was incredibly talented, very good at what she did. I don't appreciate this when somebody passes. I will never forget my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
one of his war friends, somebody that he fought in World War II with, somebody that he was still friends with, passed away. And he would make quite a few comments about this person that were not friendly, that were not nice. And I remember my grandmother saying to him, "John, you shouldn't talk about him like that." And he's like, And I'm going to talk about him the way I talked about him when he was alive. That's how you do respect. That's how you respect somebody's life. Mm-hmm. I respected that man. I went to battle with that man. I'm going to talk about him the way he lived.
Yep. And even if I didn't like him. And it's one of those things, yeah.
And I think it's the fairest and most honorable way to honor people after they have passed.
To be honest.
Sinead O'Connor was incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
And she pushed people. And
yes, she
pushed
did.
Topics.
Very and deliberately, yep.
Some of those topics she was very ahead of the game on.
Mm-hmm.
The Grammys have been notoriously bad for very long for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church and the sex abuse scandals have been around for a very, very long time.
And this was, you have to remember, that was well before the story started to come out.
Yes.
From the Boston Globe and stuff.
She was way ahead on this stuff.
Yes.
But there is also the performer in her, and I think, as she had admitted in her memoir a bit of the showman in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, I think you can do all of the things she did during that SNL thing without ripping up the picture of the Pope. I think that takes it a step too far, and you lose people.
Mm-hmm.
The message, it becomes about you and not the message.
Because that's exactly what happened.
And that's and that was to her design. That's something she did. Now, you also have to give respect to the artist and the person and own something. Mm-hmm. We all need to own something because everybody canceled her. She lost work. She lost jobs. And while I don't think that fame is or having a music career is a birthright.
Right.
I also don't think you necessarily should lose said career because of some comments or something. Mm-hmm. Do you go away for a while? Sure. But did she deserve to be blackballed like she was? Treated the way she was? No. And most of society has to take a little bit of blame on that.
Yeah.
Especially the people who went out of their way yesterday to ramble and talk about her when they were the same people who were dogging her early on in her at these points in her career.
Mm-hmm.
No human being in human history is perfect.
Right.
Mother Teresa had some enemies. I don't know who they were, but I guarantee you she had some people that she crossed, like somebody in high school that she went to with or something like that. They didn't get along or something like that.
No,
like,
there were people that thought what she was doing was a sham when she was working. So, yeah.
For me, just my opinion, if you aren't going to honor the complete person, then get lost. Then hold your tongue.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything. You don't have to, just because a celebrity dies, I gotta post a song, I gotta post a picture, I gotta post a quote. No, you don't. You can have internal thoughts. You can have internal feelings, people.
Yeah.
A little bit of breaking news here, I guess, everybody. You don't have to share every thought that comes across in your brain.
You don't? And, oh my gosh.
And you can honor somebody at home, by yourself, alone, with your own thoughts.
Or listen to, put on some of their music.
Yes.
Yes, honor them in the way that they would have liked. Because that's what they did. That's what they were known for, and that's what you should do.
I don't think her or anybody else in history, when they pass away, would want you to just, maybe, oh, I shouldn't say that. There are plenty of people that would want you to, to just say the good stuff, just give them the roses and everything. But that's just, I don't think that as a society, that's the way we should handle it.
No.
I think we can do both. We can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yes.
Quit proving to people in these people in the 1% or politicians or some politicians or some others that we can't think for ourselves. We can think and we can chew gum and walk at the same time.
We can do it, everyone.
And she will be sorely missed by a lot of people.
Well, and it was kind of shocking. She was not that old. So, exactly.
Yeah. This is just as uncomfortable of a situation. ABC's General Hospital has found an interesting way to keep coming up with new episodes during the strike, scabs. They're using, quote, temporary writers to keep the show going. A General Hospital writer who's actually participating in the strike says, quote, daytime writers face a unique conflict during the strikes. We hate to see our characters and storylines handed over to writers, quote, writers who cross the picket line. But we're also keenly aware that stopping production could spell the demise of soap operas. My hope is that if you love GH, you'll continue to watch, and you can morally support the writers and keep the show on the air.
That's an interesting dilemma. You know, I had never thought about that, but you're right. Because right now, soap operas, the ones that are still left, are in a very precarious situation. And in all likelihood, if stopped production, they would not come back.
And just as a side note, if you're wondering why you're seeing your favorite soap opera actors still when there's an actor strike, the daytime actors are not a part of this strike. They are not involved in this. Mm-hmm. In part because we want to keep these things alive.
Yep.
Because unlike the studios and the higher-ups and these people in this one percentage, we actually are doing this industry because we care about people and we want to entertain people and we don't want them to lose the shows they love.
Right.
These people don't care. They've already told you this.
They just want to make money.
The head of Netflix has even said, we're willing to do this as long as it takes, including people losing their homes, which he ran back as soon as he could, of course. And he's not alone. How we've got other stories.
How out of touch.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
For the writers, for the actors, it's not about them. It's about the future of these industries,
yep.
The future writers, the future actors. For the producers, it's money.
It's just straight up money.
That's it. And they're proving that every day. Every day this strike lasts, they're proving that all they care about is that, because they will continue to put out reality shows and they'll rehash stuff. This isn't the last story we're getting about scab writers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get other stuff like that. And they're going to keep doing this, thinking that you out there are dumb. They think you are foolish enough that you're just going to chew and eat this up.
Whatever it is.
Yep. We put it on the TV, you'll just go ahead and take it, because it's about us. We decide what you like. We decide what you love. We decide the show that you're going to flip out over and watch and talk about at the water cooler. Because they're out of touch, as you said there, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
The real writers, the real actors get that it's not about them. That nope. You could have the biggest show in the world, and the next week it's a horrible episode, and you lose 1,000 people. Like mm-hmm. And you've got to keep moving. Like, these producers are out of touch; they don't get it. And it's about them and their money, and they're so afraid that they're going to have to sell their yacht or something like that, or that fifth home they have in Paris.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My sympathy is all worn out for them. Too bad.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty
very sad.
If you ever find yourself thinking all pop music is the same these days, yeah, we got some comfort for you. You're not wrong.
Oh, wow.
There's science to back you up. In 2012, an analyst of nearly 500,000 songs between 1955 and 2010 showed that the diversity of note combinations had consistently diminished over the time period.
Ooh, interesting.
At the same time, radio stations are repeating themselves more than ever. The Atlantic noted in 2014 that the top 40 stations played the top 10 biggest songs twice as much as they did in previous decades.
Ugh.
And wow. And people wonder why radio is hurting sometimes, in some markets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The music industry has become more data-driven than ever before, which means there's more emphasis on replicting or redoing this stuff. What's already proven to work.
Rehashing, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just got done talking about this with marketing, man. Anybody, you don't have to strain your neck to see who's doing well and who isn't in certain industries. And the theme in almost all these industries is that they are not trying to do what has been done for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. It didn't work that well back then.
It really didn't.
It didn't work in the 80s, didn't work in the 90s, and it hasn't worked in the aughts. And a lot of these marketing people, are starting to get that.
Yep.
Are starting to understand that, hey, people don't want to do the same old thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to give them something different. I would like to see music producers also get this. Because that's a big part of the crux of this.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair to the artists and the music producers and the artists out there, where are you going to go? There's three giant companies that are the majority. It's basically a monopoly of the music industry right now. Where you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You have to go by what they have, and they dictate all the terms, because there's no one else to go to. There's tons of little independent labels out there, mm-hmm. but they can only do so much. So this is not like back in the early 50s when you could have a small independent, like Sun Records, where Elvis and Johnny Cash and all those guys came from, was just a storefront.
Yeah.
In Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they could make hits that everyone in the country would listen to. That's not anymore. That's gone. Like you said in there, data-driven, that's all that they're looking at now. And it makes it so boring.
It's so boring.
It's
so
boring.
It makes me all the more hope for the more chance the rappers. I want to see more of that. For those that don't know, and I understand it's not a household name or anything.
Right.
But Chance the Rapper is a kid who bet on himself. He had every studio in the country, and by that I mean three, reaching out to him to give him a record deal. He did not like any of the contracts, and he couldn't own his own music. So he's like, well, I'll just keep releasing stuff on Spotify and YouTube and all this.
Independently, yep.
And he's one of the biggest hip-hop stars in the world.
Yep.
In the world. Not just in America, in the world. He sells out shows in Brazil and all over the place. He has got he's in Doritos commercials and all this. and he still owns all of his own music. He still is not a part of a record label. And he's not alone. There's a lot more musicians doing this nowadays.
Yeah, if they think they can do it, you know, if they have that talent. He obviously thought, you know, I can do this on my own. I think I have the talent to do it. And he was right.
A lot of artists are using the Prince blueprint as well of, I'm going to play out my contract. And as soon as I can leave them, I got my own studio. I'm out of here. I'm doing my own label. But even that is... Like Madonna, when she started the Maverick label, was one of the biggest stars in the universe.
Right.
And she still had trouble, and still to this day is having trouble getting that label going and all that and everything, and having it really being productive.
Keeping it going,
it going and stuff. So just to speak to how hard this is and how much credit I give to these artists that do this, bet on themselves, that do these things.
Yep.
But it's also, like you, to your point, if you maybe you just want everybody to hear your music, you know?
Yeah.
There's no harm in that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
Where do you go? There's not a lot of options.
No, there's not right now.
We will take a break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with the 10 states where Americans say they can be happy with less than $70,000.
Oh, all right.
Wouldn't that be everywhere? I
guess we'll find out.
I don't even know what that number looks like. I don't even know. Taking a break. We'll come back with more after Melissa's news on The Morning Show at WFHR. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Such a summer classic.
Oh, it is.
Oh, perfect time of year to be playing.
Yeah.
Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Got some an interesting topic right here.
All right, let's do it.
And I should admit that I've been in radio for over 20 years, so I have no idea what they're talking about. You mean you can actually have a bank account that goes over, you know, $50? You can. I'm joking. A new report from MoneyWise.com looked into the, quote, ideal incomes for people across America.
Okay.
To determine the salary they would need to be happy.
Ideal. Okay.
And in 10 states, people would be cool with less than 70 G's.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
New Hampshire, the ideal income is 42, and we're talking thousands here.
Yeah, right.
Everybody, 42. Mm-hmm. Delaware, 49. 56. Vermont, 56. Mississippi, 57. Indiana, 58. Kansas, 62. Rhode Island, 64. North Dakota, 65. Wyoming, 66. And Alabama at 69.
Hmm.
Seeing a lot of southern states that are already probably living with a lesser than
lower
income.
Median income. Yeah, I agree.
On the flip side, people in New York say that they would need a salary of well over that. And the closest is Hawaii, where it would need another big, huge income to be able to feel happy, and quote unquote happy.
Right, because of the cost of living is just so much more in New York and Hawaii and California. Yeah.
Money creates problems, and it is not a cure-all. I don't know anybody. Now, money can help make you happier.
Yes, we've found that out. There's been studies that they've done. The show, because and we've talked about it on the show. It's because your needs are met, and when you don't have to worry about your needs being met, you're going to be happier.
Our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties just had their ALIS report come out last month and everything, and we see how thin of a margin it is between you feeling good about your life and one disaster, and all of a sudden you're stressing every night going to bed and over worrying and over panicking. So yeah, you add an extra zero to that bank account, and that stress
evaporates. Goes down a lot. Yeah, it sure does.
That'll make you happier, but it's not so much the money that is making you happy. Happier.
No, that's the thing.
You got to look at the details here. Read the fine print.
Money is a tool. Money is a tool in order to get the resources that you need. That's what it is. Yeah.
I actually, I find it a little melancholy that some of these, so many of these states, and in particular the southern ones, are just asking for so little, just to try to, to feel better and everything.
That's interesting.
This would make me happy, a bank account that would make like Oprah cry, like, you know, or some people that aren't even in the top 1% that are just making a good living and looking at that and saying, oh, geez, like that's all like they need?
Exactly,
The bar has been lowered because the bar has been lowered for their life so much.
Right.
I talk about this all the time. My whole life, I have been poor. I grew up poor. I work, I've been working, you know, 2-3 jobs my whole life.
Paycheck to paycheck. Yeah.
And everything. I don't want to pretend to act like. It always bothers me when I hear people talk about, well, they should do this with their money. They should do that. Like, for one, it ain't your money.
Nope.
And I don't like talking about what other people should do with their money.
Exactly.
What I would hope they would do with their money. Sure. Yeah. I would love to see Jeff Bezos wake up one morning and realize, oh, my God, I've been a jerk. I've been a horrible jerk. I am a horrible person. I could be helping people. I could be doing so much more. That'd be really cool.
That would be great.
I ain't going to tell him to do it. It's his money. He's earned it. I would hope that he would do that. I would hope he would come to that place on his own. I am not going to hold my breath.
No.
There's a big difference of those things.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we understand that too, for where we are. But
I don't want to pretend like I know what it's like to be rich and what I would do if I was rich. I have no idea.
You have no idea. Sombreros for everybody. That's what it would be.
No, would definitely be something weird like that. Like, you know, you could have bought homeless people meals, James.
Yeah. They'd much rather have a hat.
I'm going to do that next. Darn it. Why didn't I think of that? Darn it. That was such a better idea.
Oh, man. Well, and, you know, it's maybe we should use this instead of the poverty line. You know, say if you're under this, you know, you're in poverty or you're close to this, whatever. Why don't we do the happiness line? How much money would you need to be happy? And maybe that's what we should be shooting for, not just like a certain set amount of money, but say, you know, what it would be to get, you know, people so they don't feel like they have to worry about money every single minute of the day.
I think the majority of us don't, like I say us, just myself. I'll just speak for myself.
Okay.
I know for me, and I know many out there probably, the word is not rich, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to go to bed at night and not stress over a bill.
Yeah.
Not worry about my, you know, mom and dad or these kind of things. You know, that would be nice. That kind of thing. That's all I'm looking for. I have no interest in being filthy rich. I don't care about that. That's not my motivator in life. And I teach their own. If that is your motivator, I'm not judging you. Just, for me, that has never been the key.
Me either. Yeah.
And that's what it is for me. So I agree with you. I actually think that's not a bad idea.
That's what we're all about here on the morning show. Good ideas, right?
Every once in a blue moon.
every now and then.
Usually when Melissa's on.
Yeah.
She's the brains of the operation.
Yeah, we occasionally, you know, mistakenly come up with a good idea, but you know.
Especially when you all that I did to play into this next topic.
Okay.
We spend an average of $151 on impulse purchases every month.
Wow.
We're still spending an average of $151 on this, but that's down from $314 a year ago.
Whoa.
38% of us have made a conscious effort to rein it in.
That's 50% less. Wow.
But we're definitely not quitting cold turkey. On average, we made 6 impulse purchases a month this past year, down from 12 this year before. The number one reason people gave was inflation. 77% said it's affected their impulse spending. Mm-hmm. And 58% said that they really only do it now if they see something on sale. And here are the top things we're most likely to spur at the moment do. Clothing, junk food, household items, shoes, takeout food, books, toys, gadgets, and coffee.
Household items?
Yeah.
That seems kind of weird.
Is that just kind of thrown in there? It seems like a weird one to have.
So I guess, like, maybe you weren't planning on buying it. And yeah. that's what makes it an impulse item, although you're probably still going to use it for, you know, a good reason. The yeah. other ones, though, they yeah, those make sense. You know, just stuff you buy in the spur of the moment.
Especially with the junk food, the takeout food, the coffee. We're yeah. talking about one-time purchases. And yeah. oftentimes with a one-time purchase, you're only thinking of, well, I'm just spending $1.50, or I'm just
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
not thinking about how that adds up into your bank account.
Right.
You know, you do that every day, and you know, that kind of thing.
Ooh, yeah. And again, I'm a little bit fuzzy on what they mean by impulse purchases. I mean, it's just, is it something you're just not planning to buy at that time, and then you decide to do it right there? Or is it, you know, something, you know, like it just catches your eye kind of thing, you know? Is that that... is that, or maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. But is well, it, I guess I don't know.
I think of an impulse purchase as I'm in the store and they got that stuff in line, you know, and
yeah,
you see it.
Right.
And you're like, well, actually, I could use a new pair of headphones and they're only $1. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, right. Or like some that. Gum or something. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah like okay. that's what I think of. Maybe okay. I don't know if that's the same definition they're using or not.
It could be.
They probably should have given that in the article.
It might have been a little more helpful, but.
Might have been nice to give a little bit of a, they, you know, parameter.
They here. Did kind of give an idea because they gave, you know, the items that they would put in there, you know, yeah. like the junk food and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I don't think people are being frugal with this necessarily.
No.
I think they're being smarter with mm-hmm. this. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like it's similar to what we talked about with marriage yesterday. I don't think that marriage has died, that love has died or something like that. I think people have just gotten smarter about this and they're not marrying the first person yeah. they fall in love with.
And
you know, when you're 16 or 17 or 18 or something
yeah, right.
like that, and you're not even going to be the same person when you're 25, let alone 45.
Right. Well, and we got to stop treating things like they've always been this way.
Yeah.
Because they haven't. Marriage has changed so much mm-hmm. in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like the 1920s wasn't like the 1950s, wasn't like the 1970s. It's constantly changing. And I get it. People get scared by that, you know, because there's oh, what can we hold on to kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But no, this is always changing, you know. So and you see stuff like this, you know, what are we buying? And we're buying less impulse items. So, you know.
And I would love to go back in time and do a poll of if in the 40s and the 50s and the mm-hmm. 60s even, asking married couples if it was more okay in society to get a divorce, would you? So how many people just
yeah.
stuck through in bad relationships, in yeah. abusive relationships?
Good point.
Because that's what they were told to do.
Because you just have to, you can't get divorced because
yeah,
of
yeah.
the stigma or whatever, you know?
That to me is an insult to marriage. That to me is the insult to marriage. The people that stay in an unloving marriage.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get married because of love.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm misunderstanding the definition of love here or whatever, but if you don't you know, love each other, then what the heck are you doing married?
Yeah, that's a good point.
To me, it's smart, and if you really respect marriage, you really respect love,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be smart. You're going to be patient about this. You're going to give it time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my parents told me when we were 20 and got married. You know, if you really love each other, you're going to love each other a year or two from now. And they mm-hmm. were right. Please don't tell them that. Please.
Well, they don't listen to the show, so you're fine.
No,
I think. Yeah,
they do. They do. Trust me. Yeah, I'll hear it later. Jimmy, Jimmy, I heard that you said I was right earlier today. Yes, mother.
Just to say, yes, mother. Yes, mother.
You can't kill love. You can't.
No.
This idea of the idea of any of this, of marriage or any of this stuff going on the wayside. No.
If it's a real love, in, you know, that's based in mutual respect and all that thing, then, you know, you're right. You can't.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day, local good stuff, and
yeah.
all kinds more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Speaking of Madonna.
That's right.
Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Strike a pose.
Strike a pose.
We hope you're having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve. Seth and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Get you ready for Kristen Bry in Asgos, Wisconsin.
That's right.
And encourage you to check that out, everybody. Kristen does an amazing job on that show.
This may be my favorite Madonna song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think, I think it is.
Father, I think. Oh, Father,
oh, okay.
Probably my favorite.
Wow, that's kind of a deep,
it's a deep
cut.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I really feel like you actually can hear her sing.
Okay.
Like I don't know how many songs you really get the idea of, like, how powerful and how good of a singer
she truly
could be. I think that one and Take a Bow are the two that I enjoy the most.
One. Yeah.
They're my two favorites of hers and the two that I think, well, oh, if you want to prove that Madonna can sing, go ahead and play those two songs and you see what great singer
yeah.
she is. We got to get to some That Ain't Right stories before we get to the good. And this is an odd new study that has found that dogs do not use their tails for movement.
Ooh.
But they aren't completely useless. Researchers believe that they're important for communication, both between dogs and humans.
Ooh, that's interesting.
How can you tell if your dog is happy?
Usually by the wag of the tail.
By the wag of the tail.
Yeah.
By the wag of the tail. And same thing for other dogs. Dogs will oftentimes sneeze at each other to let another dog know that they want a roughhouse right now. Hey, I'm just playing. I don't want to get too crazy here. That's what they're doing.
It's not really, you know, being aggressive towards each other. Right.
Oftentimes, if a dog wants things to stop, they will back up and wag their tail. Like crazy.
Okay.
Obviously, if a dog wants a treat, which is every second of the day, it will wag its tail.
It wants food, of course.
But that's pretty interesting because I think for a lot of people, and including myself, I figured it came down to more of balance and a lot mm-hmm. of that. I would have never thought about some of those other parts of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My folks have a rescued cat. As their cat, Cheddar is the name of their cat.
That's a great name. Great name.
And she was, there was some trauma in her life because mm-hmm. when they first got her, she mm-hmm. was extremely skittish, wouldn't go near mm-hmm. anybody, that kind of thing. Well, she's gotten better. They've had her 2 or 3 years now. And one of the interesting things that she likes that they do is she likes it when people grab her tail.
Whoa.
And just, wow. you know, like do a quick pet, you know, like just like one of those things.
Not
pull, yank, sorry, yeah, but just grab it and then do like a thing.
Yeah,
but a lot of cats don't like you touching their tails at all.
No.
Which is like, wow, that's really interesting. And you know, one of those, you know, idiosyncrasies of an animal. The other thing, they can tell that she was a stray because she will never ever eat all of her food.
Oh, yeah.
She always has some left in her bowl just in case.
I've had an animal like that, Chloe, and mm-hmm. we've had animals at the shelters like that. Mm-hmm. That's always sad. It really hurts your heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad.
It's fascinating, though, how they survive, you know, when they understand how they have to make survival choices when they're out being a stray or whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you thought you had to worry about seniors or maybe your parents running down the steps while they're on their phones or that kind of thing or anything, a new study out of Purdue University says that among people in their 20s, young women are more than twice as likely as young men to get seriously hurt falling down steps.
Ooh.
And young people in general are twice as more likely to have this happen than seniors.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing, young people?
This elevated risk is mainly due to wearing high heels or being on phones.
Okay, well, the phone thing, come on now. Don't walk. Just walking and being on your phone can be dangerous, just like on a flat surface.
Yeah.
Doing it on stairs is just, that's not smart. Can we, and as a society, can we get rid of high heels? Can we finally say enough is enough with the high heels?
So I'm 1,000% with you on this from mm-hmm. to each their own, to women. Now, if women want to wear them, if you truly like them and everything, obviously do your thing. You don't need our okay to do that.
Right.
You don't need anybody's okay to do that.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm with you on
this. The expectation. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah. I have no interest. I've never understood. I've heard plenty of guys and women say it makes their leg look sexier. You know what's sexy to me? Like her being comfortable.
Yeah.
Like her actually being able to walk like an actual human being, not a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Not turning my girlfriend or my wife or whoever into a Barbie doll. I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that.
And we're not interested in that it makes you look taller or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, Beth always makes, you know, because we have, there's quite a height difference between Beth and me.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes, you know, like from when we got married, She did have some pretty high heels for pictures, you know, so it didn't look like, you know, she was like kneeling down or something when we were doing that. But at the same time, I'm with you, man. What comfort is so much better. I feel so bad
that it's
like they feel like they have to do that.
It's a whole heck of a lot sexier to me.
Yeah.
So a woman being comfortable than a woman possibly any second now twisting her ankle.
Yeah.
That there's nothing romantic or sexy to me about that.
No.
Ooh, your ankle's twisted. Ooh, you're barely surviving on that inch heel there. That's great. That's real exciting. And to any guys out there that are pushing back on this, well, why don't you wear them too?
Walk a mile and literally in their shoes.
Yeah, I want to see you do that.
Yeah,
I want to see you do that too. And even then, I'm not even taking your answer.
Yes.
But
now, platform shoes. those are all in. You can go go ahead, crazy with those. I love platform shoes.
One more. Well, we'll get to this one another time. We don't have time for this. We want to make sure that we have time for our local good stories of the day. Seth is going to kick that off.
I will. We've got a couple of fun things downtown today, including the Downtown Farmers Market that's going on right now until about 2 o'clock today. They've got some really cool events happening today. The 4-H has not only their foodie class, but they've also got their cardboard arcade. Now, I don't know if anyone remembers. Yeah. We were talking about this earlier. It's a fun activity where kids make their own video games with cardboard boxes, which is such a cool thing.
That
I love that.
So cool.
So they're going to be displaying those today. So you can go down there and check that out because it's really cool. And of course, with all the food and the vegetables, the flowers, baked goods, free activities, of more for kids, of course. We love the farmer's market. It's down there at First Avenue between West Grand and Goggins Street till 2 o'clock today, every Thursday and Saturday. But then at 11:30 till 1, over on the other side of the river, we've got Lunch by the River at Veterans Park. Today, the sponsor is Marshfield Clinic. The entertainment is Steve Strassman. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. They've got a lot of fun food vendors there as well. Jamaican Kitchens, Rocky Rococo, Hawaiian Plate Lunch that not only has wonderful food, I love the name because that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Hawaiian Plate Lunch. That is what you get. Go until 1 o'clock today.
Thank you to all the sponsors and all the volunteers and all the great people a part of these. Take in both events. Mm-hmm. Say hi to all of our friends at them and enjoy yourself, everybody.
Yep.
And just another reminder that the Touch a Truck event with the Family Center is taking place this Saturday, July 29th, 11 to 3 at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. Food, souvenirs, games, and prizes for the kids, raffle baskets, hands-on activities, a bunch of great vehicles going to be down there, special appearance from Miss Wisconsin Rapids Maria Hartley.
Cool.
And other surprise guests. Ooh. Thank her and those guests for coming down and all of you for joining us for this great event to help not only support and promote the Family Center, but constructing violence-free futures together.
Nice.
And a big thank you to all the sponsors.
Something
that are
to
part
support,
of this.
If you ask me.
Getting on the right side of history on that one.
Yeah.
I want to send a big thank you to Madison Rafter and our friends at the South Oconee Humane Society joining us with our Pet of the Week. We do that every Thursday. Of course, wanted to mention our show, our lineup today. We've got Stephen and Katrina Hintner from Family Natural Foods in with us at 3. And at 3:30, Jackie Carantini will be with us as far a part of Midday Magazine. Rafter Baseball back on your radio dial tonight.
Woo.
The Rafters are in Wausau to take on the Woodchucks. We got you covered right here. You don't got to head to Wausau. You just catch it right here.
That's right.
WFHR. Pre-game starts at 6:20. And meet us at Hoozle's tonight, everybody.
Oh, don't forget.
Hoozle's Rise to Music going on tonight.
Yep.
At 5:30, it all kicks off at beautiful 1497 Alpine Drive in Rome, Wisconsin. Go ahead and meet us down there. It's going to be a great event.
Yeah.
We appreciate Hoozle's, appreciate our friend Steph Schmidt and all the great people that have worked on this wonderful event.
Yep.
A big shout out to all of them. Let's throw this. Let's have a great one. Let's leave it all on the field, everybody.
That's right.
Seth, great show.
Yep. Had fun.
Have fun.
Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at
Locally Grown Radio. From Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.